In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is Christmas Eve, so we can say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
What's in a name? We have in our gospel reading from Matthew very specific instruction to Joseph. Then it's given to Mary as well to name this baby Jesus. But that's not the only name that is in this story that is significant. There's a very significant person who's recorded as saying not one word in Holy Scripture. Joseph, here, he receives 4 different revelations from God through angels. And there is no word of his recorded in the New Testament. Each time he's recorded as doing exactly what the Lord says, without any hesitation. God is his guide, and God is his guardian. And this is just like his namesake in the Old Testament. Joseph, the son of Jacob. The son of Jacob was sent ahead into slavery in Egypt, and yet was raised up to the right hand of Pharaoh. It was all the Lord's will. Joseph was sent ahead so that God's promise that through the descendants of Jacob, specifically Judah, would come the Savior. Joseph of the Old Testament was the guardian of the promise. Joseph of the New Testament was the guardian of the fulfillment of that promise. The Savior himself. And yet also with the name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek version of Yeshua, Joshua. Joshua in the Old Testament was he was kind of the assistant of Moses in the desert, but the Lord set him apart to lead the people into Canaan, into the promised land, to clear out the land of unbelief and hate and evil, prepare a land for the people of Israel. Through Joshua, God saved his people and gave them a home. He did that by the sword. And Joshua also, like Joseph of the New Testament, is recorded as being obedient and trusting, like few were in the Old Testament. But what about the name Jesus itself? Jesus. It means God saves. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? He does not save with the sword of his right hand. He does not deliver his people from slavery by conquering and killing. He does not drive anyone from their homes. But instead, he saves people. He saves all people by using his strength to take on the burden of sin on himself. People may be called Joshua. There were others that were named after Joshua. It was a good name. It was popular. There are people named Jesus and Jesus as well. But none of them, no matter what they did in life, could compare to the one who was given his name by his Father in heaven, Jesus. It's even on the little sign that's above his head. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It was in Latin and Greek and in Aramaic. So everyone who walked by could see this is the one who named himself and was named Jesus. This is the way he saves. It's not like any of the salvation that happened in the Old Testament. So when you look on the cross and you see that name, it does not look to the eyes of our flesh like he is doing any saving. In fact, he was accused and mocked. He couldn't even save himself. How could he be called the Savior of all? That is why in our epistle reading, the Apostle Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus. At the resurrection of Jesus, it's proven, it's recorded, that name is claimed as Jesus. Because by his resurrection, he proved that he did save. If death is overcome, then sin has no power. Its punishment has been taken. The payment has been paid. And no longer can anyone say, well, that's just his name. It doesn't really mean anything. In fact, for him, the name of Jesus is only appropriate. Now, there are some people that are named Jesus these days. There's lots named Joshua. And that's a good name because it recalls to mind the one who kept his word, who proved it. But that name of Jesus is not only for him. For after he rose from the dead, establishing that he was the one who he was named to be, he established holy baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In his name. So that name is engraved on your heart. You are marked with the name of God on your forehead and on your heart at holy baptism. So that his name is now yours. So that you are joined with him. The salvation that looked like he was doing and failing, and yet was then proven by his resurrection, has become yours. You follow him into the grave and you exit that grave just as clearly. And all because he put his name on you. But it is interesting that in the history of the world, nobody who was a follower, a disciple of Jesus were called, I don't even know how you'd say it, Jesuites? Jesusites? Doesn't roll off the tongue very well, does it? They were called followers of the way, as in the way, the truth, and the life. In Antioch, it's recorded in the book of Acts that they were first called Christians. That is the best name that is applied to us. We are disciples, that's true. We follow him. We are believers, that's also true. But if you say believers, you have to qualify believers in what? Believers of what? But the name Christian is applied to you. Name is both the object and the source of your name, the salvation that you hold to. That's why one of the symbols that you'll see around Christmas and one of the symbols on the tree is what's called a Chi-Rho. It looks like a P and an X. That's the first two letters of Christos in Greek, Christ. You are named Christians. By that name, you are bound to his life, his suffering, his death, and so his resurrection and eternal life as well. So as we meditate on Christ's birth this day and tomorrow, consider that it is also yours. For you are his. You are named in Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.